I have to ask you something. Can you give me 10 minutes to open God's Word? Okay. They said yes, Brother Paul, so. So I just, we'll just try to fill in the blanks about Enoch, all right? But I just want us to consider just those few verses that we find in Genesis chapter 5 and in Hebrews. We're not told very much about Enoch. And yet we're, I believe, called to emulate his life, his example. The Apostle Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And here we have another example that we can follow. Enoch walked with God. Beginning at verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. How many is that? 365. Very good. And Enoch, here it is, walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Now for the children, do you think Enoch died? Or do you think that he just walked right into heaven? What do you think? Huh? How many think he walked into heaven? Good answer. All right. Who else in the Bible did not die?
Elijah, right. Tom.
All right, but just just keep that. That's all the Bible says in Genesis about this man. It's kind of in the midst of this genealogy and who lived how long. And here we just have this little glimpse of a man called Enoch. And yet his legacy and his testimony must have been something very real and precious, because the Apostle Paul, in the letter to the Hebrews, he writes about him. Hebrews chapter 11. What does it say there? Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I truly believe that verse 6 goes along with the life of Enoch. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Here was a man, Enoch, who pleased God. Now, what do you think it means that his life was pleasing to God? That's the first blank, if you're filling in the blanks. And I'll be honest, this is not me. I mean, I didn't make this up. This is a little bit of a edited version of Charles Spurgeon. All right, he has many more things about the life of Enoch, if you're really interested. But these are just a few of the nuggets that I tried to pull out, all right? So Enoch's life was well-pleasing to God. All right, so write that in there, the first blank. Now, what do you think that means? How can we be well-pleasing to God? We obey him, right? We walk in his ways. And I think this whole picture of walking with God is something that we want to just kind of take a minute to think about. What does it mean to walk with someone? Did you go for a walk this morning?
Yes?
Yes? How many walked this morning? Yes? Now, when you walk together with someone, it kind of indicates that you're in step with that person. You know, it's hard to walk with someone if they don't walk as fast as you do, or, you know, I have short legs. They move pretty quick at times, you know. But we want to keep in step with that person. We want to walk, and you also have to walk in the same path. I mean, I can't go for a walk with my wife if she says, "Well, I'm going to go to Watch Rock and I'm going to go to the Village." We're both walking, but we're not walking together. And so we want to walk in God's ways. We want to learn to obey Him. We want to get acquainted with what the Bible tells us is the way we ought to live. And we want to walk with our God, as Enoch did. If we walk in His ways, I believe we'll be well-pleasing to Him. Can two walk together except they agree, the Bible says? And so is my life in agreement with God. Is He pleased with me? Enoch was well-pleasing to God. They had a friendship. They had a love. They had a communion. They talked to one another. And He walks with me, and He talks with us. Good, that's enough. Okay. All right, next. What else? What do you think that next blank is? He lived in the consciousness of God's presence. Presence. You know? I know when my wife is walking beside me. I know it. Do you know that God walks with you? Are you aware that His presence is with you moment by moment, day by day? Have you come into that fellowship, that union with Him, that walk with Him, that you know that Jesus is with me? You know, and we have to, there's a little book that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, The Practice of the Presence of God. And you wonder, what does that mean, the practice of the presence of God? Well, I think it means this, that yes, God is everywhere. But we sometimes are not aware. We don't take the time, as it were, to recognize that God is with us. You know, He's with us on the subway. Anybody ride the subway? Yes, Mike, Brother Mike rides the subway. God is with us on the subway. Isn't that amazing? All these people all around us, all the craziness around us. You close your eyes, right? And you just say, "God, you're with me. God, you're here." Wherever we go. And we want to get accustomed to that. And we want to begin to speak to God in our hearts. And just whisper a prayer and you'll find that He comes. He comes. Throughout the day, wherever we are, "Lord, I'm walking with You. I'm conscious of Your presence with me." It says by faith, He's in this faith chapter. He saw the One who is invisible. Just like Moses. God, open our eyes. The natural is so real. It's so, these senses that we have, these physical senses, but God has put within us the ability to sense His presence. That spirit within can be in touch with the One who gave that spirit to us. Oh God, may my spirit be touched by Your spirit moment by moment as I walk with You. The next one, Enoch was a public figure and a family man. Now, what do I mean by that? What does Spurgeon mean by that? Well, you know what? He was a patriarch. So obviously, he was a leader of his day in his society. He was the head of his family. I mean, the Bible doesn't list all the people that lived. These are just the heads of the families. We're not told the other sons and daughters necessarily that he begat. But the firstborn, it seems, was the one that was in charge, the head of the family. And so here, you know, why do I mention that? And a family man, because, you know, sometimes we make excuses. Well, if I didn't have so much to do, I could walk with God. Or if I didn't have to worry about the kids, I could walk with God. Or if I didn't have to take care of my husband, who isn't the greatest at times, I could walk with God. That was a joke. And Or my wife, you know, if my wife was more, I could walk with God. But all these things press upon my life, and how can I have time for God? How can I walk with Him with all these responsibilities? There's a quote that that I really, really like for me. It's this. There are enough hours in every day to do all the will of God. Now just think about that. There are enough hours in every day that God gives us to do all the will of God that He's called us to do in those hours He's given us. Now the question is whether we do His will or we allow other things to come in that rob us of the time that God has given us to do His will. Now what I mean by that is that, you know, we kind of, you know, well, you know, maybe housework or going to the store or going to work. That can't be, that's not really the will of God, is it? Well, I hope it is. I hope that's in your understanding of what God's will is. That every moment of every day I can do God's will. I can walk with Him. You know, we complicate things and we are, I have trouble with this word, compartmentalize. Wow. Say that with me. Compartmentalize. You know, we say, okay, this is the stuff I do for God. This is the stuff I do for me. This is the stuff I do for my family. This is the stuff I don't want to do. But everything in the will of God, as I walk with God, I can please Him. I can have fellowship with Him. You know, if we would do that, we would be better fathers. We would be better husbands. We would be better mothers. We would be better wives. We would be better children. We would be better friends in the family of God if we learn to walk with Him step by step, moment by moment, like Enoch did. The next thing, Enoch walked with God in a society that was ungodly. Do we live in an ungodly society? What do you think? And it's not going to get any better. Evildoers will wax worse and worse. But the saints of God will shine brighter and brighter. Lord, fill us with Your Spirit and set us on fire and cause us to shine for You. Enoch walked with God in a society that was ungodly. Sin covered the earth. You know, it wasn't too long before God came down to Noah and said, you know what? The wickedness of man has come before me and they're just corrupt. Their thoughts are evil continually. It's time to start over. That's the society in which Enoch walked with God. And so again, no excuse. And beloved, we need to make our choice. We need to make our choice. Are we going to let the world invade our hearts, our homes, our minds? Or are we going to say no? The grace of God, which hath appeared to all men, teaches us to say no to all ungodliness. No. Enoch's walk with God was a witness to others. There's just one other reference to Jude in the Bible, and it's found in, I said Jude, right? I gave it away. No, there's one other reference to Enoch in Jude, all right? And let me just read that to you yet. Jude 14. And listen for the word ungodly. Tell me how many times, Kaylee, I want you to listen now. Tell me how many times you hear the word ungodly, all right? You ready to count? Listen. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of His holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. How many ungodlies? Four? Is she right?
Yes.
Four ungodlies. And here, Enoch, in his walk with God, he wasn't just silent. Yes, he showed us how to live and those around him how to please God. But he also told them, you're living in the wrong way. You need to change and come to God and allow him to change your heart. He was a witness to others, even though they despised and rejected the counsel of God. All they who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Here's another one. When God took Enoch, I like this one, he was missed. Let me ask you this question. Well, when you're gone, will you be missed? A good man, a good woman is missed. The life that is generous and caring and kind and gives out to others, that life is missed. A life lived for God, a source of blessing to those around us when that life is taken, when they go to be with God in heaven, that person is missed. The Bible says he was not found. Someone was looking for him. Couldn't find him. He was not found because God had taken him. The last one, Enoch's miraculous departure was a testimony. Three things. There is a God, and there is another world. He walked out of this world into the next. And he walked with God. There is a God, and there is another world. The second thing, this body is capable of immortality. Mortality will be swallowed up by life. These bodies that we lay in the ground will one day be resurrected. We will be changed. But beloved, God has made you for eternity. And the third thing, there is a reward for the righteous. There is a reward for the righteous. You know, Enoch was translated. He just went right there to heaven with God. And his contemporaries and those that remained upon this earth, with the exception of Noah and his family, were completely destroyed. God took Enoch to himself as a reward for his righteous living, his pleasing God. And beloved, it's by faith. Let's understand that. It's by faith that Enoch was able to live and to please and to walk with God all his days. One other real small thought, and I've gone over my 10 minutes, is this. 365. What significance is that? The days of the year, except leap year, all right? So just that, still, even on leap year, you still have to live for God 365 plus one. But remember that. Enoch, every day he walked with God. Every day of my life, every day of your life, you can please God, you can walk with him. He gives us grace. And he poured out his Spirit so graciously upon us this morning. What does that say to you? Is he interested in us? Is he interested in you? Did he bring us together to do a work in our hearts so that we could live for him and please him and be a witness to this world and testify that there is a God who lives and who loves who gave his son to save us. He blesses us that we can be a blessing. Again, we can't get away from it. Rivers of living water flowing out from us. He pours in his life that we may be channels of his blessing and bless the world around us. Let's pray. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Brother John to come and pray with us. Come, Brother John.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that as in the life of Enoch, you also call us to yourself. And you give us the ability and the empowerment to walk with you, even in an ungodly, wicked world, even through deep valleys and difficult circumstances, even when it would seem everyone else is running from the battle. You give faith and you give grace. You give the empowering of your spirit, Lord, to fulfill your commands and your call to walk faithfully. And so, Lord, we take today your grace. We take, Lord, as you have so wonderfully given of your spirit to us today, we take that strength to walk. One step at a time, one day at a time, side by side, until we reach the other side. Lord, with confidence and with great hope, we journey. Lord, let us be very aware and sensitive of your presence in our lives this day. Let us please you, Lord. The words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts, let them be acceptable to you, O God, strength and our Redeemer. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, it looks like the sun is peeking out just in time. I remember we'd be in the village and it'd be raining during morning worship and you'd say, oh Lord, let the sun come out for the kids. And by the time we got out of church, the sun would be out. Praise the Lord. We have some tournaments to complete. Down at the boathouse, ping pong still or just shuffleboard? Both?